There's all kinds of social injustices all around us. Everywhere we look, there's evil taking place. We can't really escape it. It's always there. And there's things such as things that we've talked about here in our church, such as abortion and sex trafficking, and we see starvation and all kinds of things, social injustices. And I've actually seen firsthand things like starvation and hunger. I've gone to some of these countries because of the opportunity I've had to travel with Joyce Meyer Ministries. And there's really no words to describe those kinds of things, because when you look at them, you think, wow, there's no solution in sight, or there's nothing that we can really do to fix or solve the problem. But today, what I want to share with you is, it's not so much about, not that we shouldn't be doing something to help these type of situations, but our job as Christians is not really to fix the problem. Our job is to be willing to take a stand in our faith and take a stand with in our convictions. You know, things that we look at these problems and think there's no way that we could ever solve it. It's true. There are a lot of injustices. There are a lot of things, like you saw in the video, negative things that take place each and every day. And one of Satan's primary weapons that he uses to try to cause a lot of these problems is silence. This is what that video was about. The video was entitled "The Human Wrong," meaning every day, yes, there's injustices taking place in our world, but also every day there's millions of people that have never heard, or maybe even gone their entire lifetime without hearing the gospel of Jesus and not hearing anything about him at all. And this, even though those others are bad as well, this is the greatest injustice of all, that somebody could actually go their entire life without hearing about Jesus. The Bible states that there's only two choices, right? Heaven and hell. And Jesus gives everybody the opportunity, the gift of salvation. But the only way they can receive that gift is if they actually have an opportunity to hear the message. So what's the solution? Well, today, the solution, I've entitled it "The Human Right." And this isn't something that I've come up with. This is a movement that has been started, especially for the young people of this nation, to get out and to really take responsibility and start sharing their faith. But it's not just for young people. It's for all of us to get out and start sharing our faith. This is a movement. The Human Right is about every Christian being willing to share their faith with anybody that they come into contact with. The Human Right is about every Christian being willing to break the silence by using their gifts, their talents, whatever God has given them, to go out and share their faith and really spread the gospel to our cities, to our communities, everywhere. We need to use our voices to do this. So today I kind of want to give you a preview, because over the next few weeks in youth on Wednesday nights, we're going to be sharing about three of the core values of this movement, the Human Right. And the three values are, I'm just going to cover them briefly today, but in youth we're going to be talking about them more in depth. But the first one is abide. This is one of the core values. After Jesus' death on the cross, we were given immediate access to him. We had direct access to Jesus Christ. And the gospel says that the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom on that day. So because of this, we were able to abide in Christ. Basically, when we do this, we're leaving a place in our heart for Jesus to live. That's the first core value, is abide. The second is abandon. Nobody ever said, and if anybody's ever told you this, it would be completely false, but living the Christian life is not easy. We all know that. And most people take the wide path, but the Bible says that we're supposed to take the narrow path. And the wide path, a lot of people do take because it is a little easier. It might seem like more people are taking that path. And maybe they take it because, you know, they don't want to offend people, or they want to play it safe. But in order to live this life, we have to leave behind our old life of sin, our old ways of thinking, whatever we think it means to be successful or happy. Sometimes we got to leave all that behind, and we need to abandon everything to Him and trust His plan for our lives. The third one is to advocate. Like I mentioned earlier, darkness is all around us. Evil is all around us. There's no way to escape it. And in our schools, our workplaces, our communities, you name it, people choose to believe lies every day. Lies that are not in the Bible. They do choose to believe things that are not in the Bible, and they twist the Bible, and they make it say what things that it does not. They choose to believe what everyone around them is telling them is truth. And I think one of the reasons they do this is because, like I said, they don't want to come across as a bad person. They don't, sometimes as we put it, as people put it today, they don't want to come across as politically incorrect, things of that, all that kind of stuff. But to be an advocate is to speak the truth in those dark places, no matter what, no matter what the cost is. So today I just want to talk to you a little bit about an individual in the Bible that we all know, we've all heard about him. And his name is John the Baptist, and he's an important figure in the Bible, not because of who he was, but because of his purpose, and because of what he did, what his calling in life was. And we can find his story in all of the Gospels, and I'm actually going to reference a couple of the Gospels today. But I want to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and here's just a little background on John the Baptist. So let's look at Luke 1. Starting in verse number 5. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John.'" And this is his purpose right here, starting in verse 14. "He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So as you can see, John's father was served faithfully in the temple. And he actually served in the time period of the church where they never really experienced the presence of God. They never really heard the voice of God. There was never really any type of move of God. Now, if you've ever done any type of ministry or anything like that, or done anything in the church and you thought it was rough, this guy had it rough. This was tough ministry right here. But the Bible says that his father served faithfully in the temple. John's mother was Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, which was the mother of Jesus. And from the time of the Old Testament prophets, which you know the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, to the New Testament, there was about what some people would call 400 years of silence. And the reason they say this is not that nothing really took place those years. Historically, a lot of things did take place. But God did not use any prophets to reveal anything during that time. So there was 400 years of silence that the people of Israel didn't really hear from God. But God was about to break the 400 years of silence, and it was going to start with John the Baptist. And the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah the purpose of John the Baptist. Let's read this again in verse 17. It says, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That was John the Baptist's purpose. And this is not saying, this passage is not saying that John the Baptist was going to be returning in the flesh of Elijah. Some people were asking him if he was Elijah, or they were asking him all these questions. But it was mainly stating that John the Baptist would be functioning like the preacher Elijah in the spirit. In fact, the Bible says that John the Baptist, even before he was born, he had the Holy Spirit. But that's amazing, because that means he was going to carry out his entire life functioning with the power of the Holy Spirit. This would actually be a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Malachi. If you look in Malachi chapter 4, this passage is a reference to a verse in Malachi as well. And then also one that we all know, but Isaiah actually prophesied about John the Baptist in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. And this is what it says: "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." John chapter 1, I'm going to jump over to the Gospel of John. Verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light." Well, we all know that light that is talked about in that passage was Jesus and is Jesus today. And John was sent to proclaim Jesus. And I find it unique, the reason I like that passage is I find it unique that John's name, if you look at it in the Hebrew, the meaning of it, which was given to Zechariah by the angel, it means "the Lord is gracious," or "the Lord shows grace." I never actually knew that before, but the reason I find it unique is because of the fact that Jesus would soon be showing everyone the ultimate act of love and grace by his act on the cross. You see, people knew that there was something planned, there was something special about John the Baptist, even from the moment he was born. He had a purpose. Luke 1, verse 66 says, "Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, 'What then is this child going to be?' For the Lord's hand was with him." John had a call in his life, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born, that's another thing. You know how when you read the Bible sometimes and you've read it over and over in certain places, but then you go back and you're like, "Well, I never noticed that before." This is kind of one of those things that I never noticed before. He was set apart for God. He knew he had been given a specific task once he got older, and he was set out to complete that mission. He knew what his mission was. And we all know the story of John the Baptist. We all know that he lived in the desert. We know that he was kind of a little odd as far as the Bible describes him, as the way he dressed, what he ate. But he wasn't afraid of preaching repentance and standing up for what God was telling him to say. He preached with boldness in the face of adversity. The leaders of that day sometimes were against him. But he was willing to preach truth and even willing to die a martyr later in his life. And he was willing to preach truth. And you know, sometimes when you speak truth, it does hurt. And that's what some of the leaders of that day, they didn't like about John the Baptist. I don't know how many of you watch those shows on TV where they have people will go up and they'll either sing or they'll do some kind of a talent, and something like American Idol or different things like that. I used to be really into those shows, but you know, they've seen their course. But you know, I forget how many seasons of it. And there's one show that kind of sticks out to me though, The Voice. Maybe some of you are into that. But What do? They have four judges, and they have their backs to the contestant, right? And they don't see the person. So the person comes out, and they start to sing. And typically what happens, if they like the voice or they want to know more about the voice, they hit the button, and their chair turns around, and they see the person that's singing. And the judges, they listen to the contestant, but they can only see them. They can only hear them, but not see them. They've heard their voice. They liked what they heard. But now when they turn around, what do? They ask the person, "Who are you?" They want to know more about the person. And I believe it's kind of like this for us, because God has placed a calling on each one of us in this room, just like he did John right from the start. And in John's day, people heard his voice. They heard what he was talking about. And once they heard it, though, they asked him, "Who are you?" They wanted to know who he was. So let's see how he responded. John, he was a voice. So that's my first point today. John was a voice. And in John chapter 1, starting in verse 19, this is how he responded to this question. It says, "Now this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. 'I am not the Messiah,' they asked him. 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you a prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord.'" They asked him this question, "Who are you?" because I believe they knew he had a purpose. They knew there was something different about him, not just in his appearance, not the way he looked, but because of the truth that he spoke. And when they asked John the Baptist, "Who are you?" he didn't respond by saying, "My name's John. I'm actually kind of related to the Messiah. You know, like, this is my position, or these are my talents." He didn't say any of that. In fact, he simply said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." He wasn't just another voice. He was a voice that was speaking what God was saying to him. He wasn't speaking his own words. He was letting the Holy Spirit lead him. And when we try to speak truth, we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the game of telling people how they're supposed to live. You know, what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to live a certain way. If they don't do this, then this is what's going to happen. People don't want to hear all that unless you can tell them who you are. If we are in Jesus and we abide in him, which is one of the core values that I was telling you about, and we are his advocates, then our identity comes from him. That's who we are. And people need to know about Jesus, not our opinions, not our thoughts, not any of that stuff, but they need to know people that will stand up and speak what the Spirit of God is leading them to say. We don't want to compete with all the voices that are out there, because honestly, there's too many voices out there. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of things in this world that are competing, especially for the attention of our young people or our children. And there's too many voices. And if we just become another voice, that's easy to do, because sometimes we are passionate. We do feel strongly about certain subjects, and we just say things. But I believe today that we simply need to let God speak through us and allow him to lead every step, everything we say, all of our actions. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody where... Well, I guess I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. But when I was dating, which is not like the most exciting time of my life, but it's not talking about fun. But when I remember a couple bad experiences that I had where, you know, and you just, this could go with just any person, any individual, but you're having a conversation with them, and what did they do? The whole entire time, they're only talking about themselves. Like, they never ask you a question about you. They never ask you what you're passionate about. They never ask you any of that. The whole time is just strictly about them. Well, after a while, that gets kind of old. It's a little boring, you know. Because believe it or not, I do like to talk sometimes, you know. But just ask my wife. But that can get kind of old. And John, he was a voice, but he also had a message. And his message had nothing to do about himself. In fact, he didn't care too much about appearance or anything of that nature. It was strictly about pointing people to Jesus. He was preparing the way. It was about telling people about Jesus, about who he was. Who was he? He was the healer, he was the savior, he was the deliverer, and he was preparing the way for him to come. Sometimes when I just stop and think about John's purpose, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. He was preparing the way for Jesus. I mean, can you imagine having, if that was your call? In reality, though, all of us do kind of have that call because our responsibility is to share Christ with others. So we're preparing the way for them to hear this message of Jesus Christ. John had a message. We also have the same message. But people will say, they will ask you, I've heard this message before, but who are you? Hopefully, as believers, we can say, I'm a child of God. I've been made whole. I've been redeemed. I'm blessed. I've been set free. I'm not a mistake or an accident, but God has a purpose for my life. God has created me in his image. And there's a ton of things that we could say. The list can go on and on and on. One of the greatest things we can say is that we've been forgiven and our future is secure. You see, we need to be a voice. We need to be a voice and have a message. People want to know, who are you? They want answers to questions like, why do you stay faithful to God? Why do you love him even though you have never seen him with your eyes? Why do you serve him instead of serving yourself? Why do you love those who hate you? Why do you give of your time, your money, and your talent and not spend it on you? Why do you attend church? Why do you pray? Why do you want to live for God? Why do you want your family, your friends, your city, and your school to know him? They want answers to those questions. They want to know why you do what you do. Who are you? We are a voice. We have a message. And finally, we're on a mission. You know, now that I'm a dad, I get the opportunity to talk about my daughter all the time. Doesn't matter when, you know. And I went on a work trip like 2 weeks ago to South Carolina, and we interviewed different people there, their story, and they had some pretty cool testimonies. But when I got there, you know, I didn't hardly know these people. I mean, I made a little connection with them, but I barely knew them, and I was already pulling out my phone like, hey, here's a picture of my daughter. You know, and I was like flipping through my phone, and they're like, who is this guy? You know, I don't even know this guy. But I was already ready to show pictures, and, you know, Fawn's sending me pictures by text, so as soon as I get one, I'm like, oh, hey, here's another one, you know. But the thing about it is, you know, I'm a proud dad, but now Madeline, it's kind of funny because now as soon as, if I'm holding her, she gets a little, you know, impatient. And like if I sit her on the ground, as soon as I sit her on the ground, she's go. She's like on a mission. She's going somewhere. So I made a little video last night and I wanted to see if she would actually do it. But when it comes to like building towers, I like to build towers and she typically just, she cannot stand for them to be up. She needs to knock them down. I don't care where she's at. So if I need her to come to me, that's what I do, I build a tower. But anyways, watch this video real quick of Madeline.
Hey, Madeline, gotta come get this tower. Gotta knock it down. Oh! Accomplished your mission. Hey. Madeline, there's still another tower here. You gotta knock it back down. If Daddy could figure out how to build the tower. Hey!
Well, as you can see, she's pretty proud of her accomplishments. But I'm pretty proud of her myself as well. So John was on a mission, though. And each one of us in this room is on a mission. We're a mission from God. And God has given us a specific purpose for our life. And this is something that, yes, we've all heard a million times. But once we truly realize that we're on a mission from God and that he's given it to us, we're able to carry out that mission with full confidence. Knowing that God, he has our back. He's not going to leave us hanging. He's not going to just throw us out there into the fire. No, God has our back. And he's given us the tools to do, to carry out his mission and to do his will. So when they ask us those questions that I mentioned earlier, like, why do we do what we do? Why do we live our lives for Christ? Why do we pray? Why do we go to church? Why do we not live like the world? Why do we love people that everyone else looks over? Why do we do what we do? Because we're on a mission. And one of these days, Jesus is coming back for his church, and I want to be with him. You are the voice, you have a message, and you're on a mission. So I want to conclude with two different things today. I am going to show you one more video, but before I do, I just wanted to say one final thing before I kind of wrap this up. Some of us in this room, we know who we are. You know, we've been raised in church and we know who we are in Christ and we've heard the stories before. But I think maybe sometimes our biggest problem is that we want to do things in our own ability. And it doesn't matter how talented or smart or how much money you have or whatever it might be. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't accomplish anything. It's not going to be accomplished. And if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to be led by the Spirit. And I believe if we're not led by the Spirit, then what happens? Then we're going to be led by our emotions, how we feel, and we're doing it in our own ability. And many times I think, and I've had this thought myself, but many times when it comes to like youth ministry, my wife and I being involved in youth ministry, and it could be any ministry, but there are times where I think people think that the message sometimes of the gospel is watered down because we don't want to make people feel bad, or we want to talk about the subjects that are positive, like God's grace and God's forgiveness. And we don't want to overlook those because those are crucial to our faith. They're crucial to what we believe. But these topics, even though they're crucial, I today kind of, just because I have the opportunity from the pulpit, I want to make a vow that I commit to speak truth no matter what the cost is. I vow to speak, you know, those messages that sometimes are hard, that people do have a hard time hearing. Those messages that, even though they may be unpopular, I still, with God's help, vow to speak those messages. And I may be learning, I may be still learning as I go. This is a work in progress. And actually, the Christian life is a work in progress our whole entire life. But I vow with God's help to let the Spirit lead every aspect of my life. And I challenge you guys to do the same. I challenge you to let God lead you in your actions, in your words. And I don't just say this because I'm on a platform, but I say this because this is my desire for my own life, and I pray that it's your desire as well. So I want to show you another video, and then I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and I'm actually going to read this prayer, but it's from the series The Human Right, and I want to read it because I think it'll encourage you and it's a challenge to all of us. So watch this video. It's entitled, If the Dead Could Speak.
If the dead could speak, why would you speak about the dead? That's creepy. You know what's creepy? Let me tell you what's creepy. What's creepy is how we can have a cure to something sicker than cancer and don't give it out because we'd rather hold it in our pockets. That's creepy. That's not just creepy, that's cruel and unusual. It's strange, it's weird, and it's common. Look to your neighbor and smile. And now realize that even though you smiled at your neighbor and you were kind, they still may not share with you the biggest message of all time. I call it the gospel. But if the dead man could speak, he would probably say with as much passion as he could in his decomposing body that he had never heard of such a thing, that he had never experienced such a thing. He might ask you, why did you smile at me if you were going to just let me die? If the dead man could speak, he would ask you what was so scary about stepping out of what was politically correct to tell me that someone died for me. Sometimes I think we get so wrapped up in the small things that we forget the big things. We allow our fear, our greed, idolatry, qualification, and complacency to stop us from giving the biggest ministry of all time. Love is an action word, not a contemporary word that we will break apart and dissect and spread apart and share in a sermon or a dissertation or an essay or a response. So if the dead man could speak, he would probably look you in the face and ask you why you never talked. If the dead man could speak, he would probably ask you if you thought you were being complimentary or kind by lying to his face about the future in his life and never allowing him the opportunity to choose Christ. If the dead man could speak, he would probably ask you if it was worth it. If all that money you saved was worth it. Tell it to a face of a dead man who never had a chance to experience life for heaven or eternity. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. Let's say the dead man could talk. And he came into the classroom, limping, you know, because that's how bones walk. Let's say he limps into this classroom and looks everyone in the face and says, hey, I remember that time. I remember that time you gave me the opportunity. You gave me the chance. You gave me something that I didn't even ask for, something I didn't seek, but now I have nothing to do but thank you, because I could have spent my entire life burning, but you came to me, you spoke to me, you gave to me, and now I just want to thank you for being obedient. You've got to give of yourself, because it will cost you to share this gospel. If the dead men could speak, they would all say different things depending on how we interacted with them. Speak to those in love, please. You don't need posters and signs and anger. Show them love. Speak to them the word. I don't want your doctrine or your indoctrination. Just give them the word, please, child. But let your pride down and let me use you. And yes, it'll hurt. And sometimes you'll cry in your room alone and wonder why nobody accepts you. You'll wonder why nobody respects you. And then you'll remember the dead man. And you'll smile. Because when he sees you the next time, the only words that's going to come out of his mouth are thank you. Thank you.
You know, there are a lot of people out there who haven't heard about Jesus. Even people right next to us and really close to us. Very likely in our schools and our job workplaces. And it's not an easy task. In fact, it's something that I commit to want to work harder. Sometimes we kind of just push it to the side and say somebody else will do it. But there's different ways of sharing our faith, and it's not just with words, but it's also with our actions and our testimony and how we live everyday life. So just remember that you might be the only person that actually, somebody else might be the only person that hears truth from you. They may not hear it from anybody else, but they may only hear it from you because you're the one close to them. You're the one that's next to them. And especially young people in the schools. I can't reach some of those people because they're there. So I want to challenge you guys today, and I think what I feel led to do is just to have all of you come up here and just pray as a church. And I want to pray this prayer over you. So I'm going to invite you guys to come up, and then I'm going to conclude with this prayer. But I want you guys to remember, though, that just three simple points today. You are a voice, you have a message, and you're on a mission. And God has given each one of us that mission. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, I pray today that you will raise up a voice that will shake the nations, that will stir the church and challenge the religious and speak to the hearts of the lost. I pray today that you will raise up a voice that will call out a generation from hiding and speak for the silent and the voiceless, the nameless and the faceless. Raise up a voice that will speak to the valley of dry bones and the dead places and usher in the breath of life. I pray that you will raise up a voice that will speak to the blind and bring sight to them. Raise up a voice that will speak against the darkness and the forces of hell. Raise up a voice that will call all men to repentance and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God, raise up a voice. Raise up a voice that will shout out the power and glory of your name. Raise up a voice that cannot be silenced, quieted, or stopped, and will not be intimidated. Raise up a voice that will pray more than it preaches, worships more than it whispers. Raise up a voice that is not ashamed of the gospel or the cross or the mighty blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. In these last days, raise up a voice that money can't buy, religion can't keep quiet, and persecution can't bring down. God, raise up a voice in these final hours that will speak forth the truth of the Word of God. Raise up a voice that will prophesy and proclaim healing, that will decree and declare freedom from bondage. Raise up a voice of a generation that will not fear. Raise up a voice that will speak to those who have not heard. God, raise up a voice, not only in this church, but with believers all over the world. God, I thank you for this congregation in this church and what you're about to do with the people that are connected to us. I thank you for what you're about to do in this church, and I pray that you would let us be bold in our faith and go out of this place with a renewed sense of purpose, knowing that we have a voice, we have a great message, and we're on a mission. Let us not be ashamed to share that and to be bold and proclaim it. And I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. God bless you. You are dismissed.